Join me in prayer, please. Father, what a joy it has been to be in Hebrews 11. And we just thank you for your word, for your steadfast truth. I pray that you would open up our hearts and minds to your word again this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, join with me in looking in your Bibles at Hebrews chapter 11 as we read verses 32 through 35. It says, "And what more shall I say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and Samson and Jephthah, also of David and Samuel and the prophets, who through faith subdued kingdoms, worked righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, became valiant in battle, turned to flight the armies of the aliens, women received their dead raised to life again." As we have spent each Sunday looking at a particular phrase, this Sunday we find ourselves in "out of weaknesses were made strong." I love what Pink said in his commentary about this particular phrase. He said, "They were not just strengthened, they were made strong." It reminded me back when I was in high school and we would find ourselves in off season and we'd lift weights, and there were some little guys that no matter how hard they tried, their body just wasn't built to be strong. They were what I was not. I was not skinny. And so they were skinny, they were thin, and they would try really hard. And they were strengthened, but they were never strong. Well, what the writer of Hebrews is telling us here is the people weren't just strengthened, they were made strong out of their weaknesses. And as I have mentioned before, there in Hebrews 11, as we've been going through these phrases, there is a physical aspect to what the writer is saying, as well as a spiritual aspect. And the first person that I want to point out as we look at this particular phrase is Hezekiah, which leads us to turn to 2 Kings chapter 20. And as you're making your way in your Bible to 2 Kings chapter 20, I want to point out that Hezekiah was a righteous king. And in fact, in 2 Kings 18, it says that he did what was right in the sight of the Lord. And while Hezekiah did right while he was in the sight of the Lord, and he reigned 29 years, we find him in 2 Kings chapter 20, 14 years into his reign. And if you look at 2 Kings 20, starting in verse 1, it says, "In those days Hezekiah was sick and near death. And Isaiah, the prophet, the son of Amoz, went to him and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die and not live.' Then he," referring to Hezekiah, "turned his face toward the wall and prayed to the Lord, saying, 'Remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I have walked before you in truth with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight.' And Hezekiah wept bitterly." And it happened before Isaiah had gone out in the middle court that the word of the Lord came to him saying, "Return and tell Hezekiah, the leader of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of David your father, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Surely I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord, and I will add to your days 15 years. I will deliver you and this city from the hand of the king of Assyria, and I will defend this city for my own sake, for the sake of my servant, David." I want to remind you what I said earlier, and the fact that Hezekiah did what was right in the sight of the Lord. He did what was right. He had lived a life as king for 14 years of being faithful and being obedient. And then when he got the word, he prayed. He first turned to the wall. And I've got my own idea about Hezekiah turning to the wall. He turned to the wall because he knew nobody else could do anything for him but the Lord. He found himself in that position of weakness. He was weak. There was nobody else that could help. Now, pastoring for nearly 20 years, I have witnessed the prayers of people that had lived a life of faithfulness. And I have witnessed what we could call Johnny-come-latelys, because they don't pray unless they get in trouble. Well, it doesn't work that way. James 5:16 says this: the effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man accomplishes much or avails much. If you only pray when you get into trouble, and you've lived your life however you've wanted to live it, and you're not living your life how God wants you to live it, my friends, you are wasting your time. God hears the prayers and answers the prayers of righteous people. Hezekiah lived obediently for 14 years, and he turned to the wall and he wept bitterly, and God said, I hear your prayers and I see your tears. The prayers of a righteous man avails much. Now, that doesn't mean that every time we get into a situation of whether we're in poor health or we are struggling, that means that God's going to make a turn and heal us every single time. And we've got some other examples that we're going to look at in Scripture. But if you look at Hezekiah, and when he prays to the Lord, he says, remember now, O Lord, I pray, how I've walked before you in truth and with a loyal heart and have done what was good in your sight. Don't you want to be able to say that kind of prayer when you need to cry out to the Lord? Think about it this way. You spend all the time in turmoil, in trouble, in expense, in effort, in raising your kids, and you do all of that work and all of that heavy lifting, and you send your kids on their way to be productive adults in life. What would you think if you only heard from your kid if they were in trouble or needed money? Is that a productive, healthy relationship? It's not. Why would we think anything differently about God? He is our Creator. We are His children. He wants a relationship with us, and that relationship doesn't consist of only crying out to Him in times of need. We should be praying, what does the Bible say, without ceasing? We should be a people of prayer. A people of prayer during good times. A people of prayer during bad times. And it's something that we should dedicate ourselves to. And when we couple that with a life of holiness, you don't hear that a lot in pulpits anymore, but God says, be ye holy, for I am holy, says the Lord. And when we couple a holy life with a dedicated prayer life, God speaks to us. We should be expectant in our prayers. In 1975, the Dallas Cowboys were playing the Minnesota Vikings. And Roger Staubach, who was a Roman Catholic, threw a winning touchdown pass. And they asked him about it, and he said, "Well, I went back and I said a Hail Mary." And hence the term we have now in football of throwing a Hail Mary. And some people look at their prayer life that way. I'm only going to pray when I get in trouble. I'm only going to pray when I need an answer. I'm not going to approach the Lord on a daily basis. A righteous man's prayer will be heard. Hezekiah was weak, and he reached out to the Lord and he prayed, and the Lord heard him. Let's go to Psalm 6. Let's look at the life of David. In this particular psalm that David wrote, you can just see the weakness of David through the first half. It says, "O Lord, do not rebuke me in your anger, nor chasten me in your hot displeasure. Have mercy on me, O Lord, for I am weak. O Lord, heal me, for my bones are troubled. My soul also is greatly troubled. But you, O Lord, how long? Return, O Lord, deliver me. O save me for your mercy's sakes. For in death there is no remembrance of you. In the grave, who will give you thanks? I am weary with my groaning. All night I make my bed swim. I drench my couch with tears. My eyes waste away because of grief. It grows old because of all my enemies. Depart from me, all you workers of iniquity." He's down in the dumps. He's weak. He's helpless. He's in despair. But look at the second part of verse 8. "For the Lord has heard the voice of my weeping. The Lord has heard my supplication. The Lord will receive my prayer. Let all my enemies be ashamed and greatly troubled. Let them turn back and be ashamed suddenly." I love that in verse 9. "The Lord will receive my prayer." See, as believers, my friends, you and I have the confidence of knowing that the Lord will hear our prayer. Contrast that confidence to when you talk to somebody who doesn't have a walk with the Lord and they won't call Him the Lord. "I hope the man upstairs hears what I'm saying." Well, the man upstairs may hear, but you need God to hear. He's not the man upstairs. He is Lord Jehovah, and He hears the prayers of the saved. And we can be confident as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ that He will hear our prayers and He will turn our weaknesses into strength. Now, let's talk about that. How do you define strength? Being strong doesn't mean that everything will be going your way. We can pray to the Lord. We can get our prayers answered. They may not be answered in the way that you want them answered, but you may find strength in that. And to give you a great scripture reference in that regard is looking at the life of Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. Paul says this starting in verse 1. "It is doubtless not profitable for me to boast. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I know a man in Christ who 14 years ago, whether in the body I do not know or whether out of the body I do not know, God knows such as one was caught up to the third heaven. And I know such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I do not know, God knows, how he was caught up into paradise and heard inexpressible words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such one I will boast, yet of myself I will not boast except in my infirmities. For though I might desire to boast, I will not be a fool, for I will speak the truth. But I refrain lest anyone should think of me above what he sees me to be or hears from me. So here Paul found himself seeing a vision of paradise. And God knew that he could be boastful about it. And when you look at verse 7, and it says, "Unless I should be exalted above measure by the abundance of the revelations, a thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure." So he received a thorn in the flesh. Now, some people look at this and say, well, it was a physical malady. But if you look back in the original language, that's not what it was. It was a person. It was a person in the church. And he said, "A thorn in the flesh was given to me, a messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I be exalted above measure. Concerning this thing, I pleaded with the Lord three times that it might depart from me." He was persistent, wasn't he? He prayed three times for the Lord to remove the thorn. But look at what Jesus said in verse 9. "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weaknesses. Therefore, most gladly, I will rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecution, in distresses for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong." Sound familiar? That's what the writer of Hebrews said. That he turned weaknesses into strength. He made them strong. Paul says, "For when I am weak, then I am made strong." It's the sufficiency of grace. Now, let me ask you, did Paul have his prayer worked out the way that he wanted it worked out? Uh-uh. He didn't. This idea that if we just pray long enough, strong enough, and we just really dedicate ourselves to prayer, that we can get the answer that we want, that's manipulation, isn't it? I've told this story before. My brother, as a kid, was a very persistent person. And he wanted a Kawasaki 90 dirt bike for Christmas. And so he was looking through this dirt bike magazine, and he cut out this dirt bike ad. And my dad was a traveling salesperson. He sold for the natural gas industry, and he would leave early in the morning because the plant foreman or plant supervisor would get there at 7 in the morning. So Dad would have to travel to be there at 7 to meet the fella. And so when Dad came home, he had been driving all day long. And I kind of treated Dad a little bit different. I knew that you had to kind of let him time to air out a little bit. Well, my brother cut that ad out, and every single night, my brother would slide that ad across the table and say, "Dad, see that Kawasaki 90 dirt bike? That's what I want for Christmas." Dad kind of look at it. Next night, same thing. "Dad, see that Kawasaki dirt bike? That's what I want for Christmas." And my dad was a very stringent disciplinarian. And I thought, man, you are toying with death. And every night, that ad going across the table. So I was amazed of his persistency. But he wore Dad down. And lo and behold, Christmas, he got a Kawasaki 90 dirt bike, the exact same one that he pressed across the table on a nightly basis. That's persistency. But if I get that every single time, that's manipulation, isn't it? That's not how God works. See, God gives us what He wants us to have and what's best for Him, not what's best for us. Ephesians 1 says that we've been saved for the praise of His glory. So all of our prayers are answered, but they may not be answered in the exact way that you are expecting. And that's why I love when Paul says, "Therefore I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and needs and persecutions and distresses, for whose sake? For Christ's sake." Not for Paul's sake, not for Monty's sake, not for your sake, for the sake of Jesus Christ. And as we live a life based in Christ, we have to realize that we have been saved not to glorify ourselves, not to enrich ourselves. We have been saved for the purpose and glory of Jesus Christ. I love what Paul wrote in 2 Corinthians 4, starting in verse 7. And this applies to us as believers, not just Paul. But Paul said, "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels." That's us. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power of God and not of us. Let me read that again. "But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellence of the power may be of God and not of us." See, we're strong not for our own benefit, my friends. We're strong for God. And then Paul goes on and he writes, "We are hard pressed on every side, yet not crushed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, but not forsaken. Struck down, but not destroyed. Always carrying about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our body." See, that's what Paul meant for the sake of Christ. When we're obedient, when we cry out in our weakness, we're made strong, not for us, but for Christ. And then he goes on in verse 11 and says, "For we who live are always delivered to death for Jesus' sake, that the life of Jesus also may be manifested in our mortal flesh. So then, death is working in us, but life in you." See, God uses us in our weakness. He uses us in His grace. His grace is sufficient for us. Now, if I leave the Bible and I leave my prayer life, and I go out and I try to find answers on my own, I'm not going to find them, and I'm not going to be glorifying God. When you find yourself in a trial or a tribulation, where do you find a glorification in God? In you living an obedient life and crying out to the Lord in your prayer? Or are you going around asking 9 million different people, "Well, what do you think I should do? What do you think I should do?" Answer's in the Bible, my friends. It's always in the Bible. It's always in Him. And He uses us in our weakness. 1 Corinthians 1:26 says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of the world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things which are not, to bring to nothing things that are, that no flesh should glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God and righteousness and sanctification and redemption, that, as it is written, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord." When you're weak, when you're downcast, When you find yourselves perplexed and troubled and you call out to the Lord, you will find strength. You will be made strong. You may not get the answer that you're wanting, but my friends, you're going to glory in the Lord. You're going to be a witness. I was talking to a friend this weekend, and he told me that one of his employees was giving him a hard time because he looked up to heaven and he said, "Thank you, Lord." And the employee goes, "There he goes again." The employee's not a believer. And I said, "You are a witness." See, we are in desperate need of witnesses in a society that does not know the Lord. And He can use us. And you may have gotten off the path in life of walking with the Lord. It's never too late. It's never too late. And if you find yourself weak and you find yourself not living up to a standard, you just need to cry out to the Lord. You need to rest in Him. You need to rededicate your life to the Lord, to where you can have joy in the Lord. No matter how weak you are, you will find strength in following Jesus Christ. Join me in prayer. Father, we just thank You for Your Word today. We thank You for all of these wonderful, wonderful examples. Men who found themselves feeling weak and in despair. I pray that when we find ourselves in that spot in life, that we won't go around and ask other people for their advice. I pray, Lord, that we would find ourselves on our knees and in our Word, calling out to You, having confidence that You are Lord and Creator of the universe, and You uphold all things, and You can answer us, and You can strengthen us, and You can make us strong. I pray that we would live our whole life, Monday through Sunday, for the glory of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen.